Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Dalet Amud Bet by the two dots. The Gemara here is discussing the position of Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah, who says that Klal Amar Rabbi Yeshua Kol Shahayt Lashat Heter LaKohanim Ein Mo'alim Ba. Anything that had a Heter LaKohanim, there is no Me'ila with it. Till now we've assumed Heter LaKohanim means that the Kohanim are able to eat it. Now we're going to see that that may not be so clear or so obvious. And the Gemara is going to bring a machloket as to what it means, heter la kohanim. Samalei bar kapara le bar pedat, ben achoti. So bar kapara said to bar pedat, you can see the shittim kubetz, it changes it to bar podo. Says, my nephew, rei ma atashu alani le machar bebeit midrash. Take a look at what you're going to ask me in the beit midrash tomorrow. Heter shchita sheninu, o heter zrika sheninu, o heter achila sheninu. The question that he had discussed with him, and he says, you know what? When we're in the Beit Midrash, when we're learning tomorrow, I want you to pose the question again. I want you to think about it. And then let's discuss it tomorrow, because then we'll be in a forum where I'll have more time to think about it. Other people will be around. And maybe we can come to some conclusion. And he presents the possibility of three different things being Heter LaKohanim. One is Heter Shchita Sheninu. The possibility that after Shchita, it already becomes Heter LaKohanim. And that removes the mi'ilah from it. Heter zrika, or that kabbalat adam is sufficient grounds to release it from kodshei Hashem. Oh, heter achila, or is it heter achila, the ability to eat it, which is what we had thought all along, is that what it makes it that it no longer is considered kodshei Hashem, and there's no longer any mi'ilah. So just to explain here, heter shchita means literally the shchita, and heter achila is the same thing, which means that at the time when you do the shchita, that's what releases it from mi'ila. And same thing with heter achila. Once you have a heter achila, it releases it from the mi'ila. On the other hand, the heter zrika is not when you do the zrikat adam. Because once you've done the zrikat adam, there is heter achila. It's really the kabbalat adam. If you complete the kabbalat adam, then the mi'ila is gone. And as the Balei Tosfot point out, why didn't the Gemara here just say Heter Kabbalah like it said by the others? You would have said Heter Shchita, Heter Kabbalah, Heter Achila. It would have made more sense. He says you can't say Heter Kabbalah because there's no Isur of Kabbalat Adam. Even if there's something wrong with the Shchita, even if there's something Pasul, there's no inherent Isur in doing Kabbalah. All Kabbalah does for you is facilitate your ability to do Zrikat Adam. So that's what it means, heter zrika. Heter zrika is the thing that facilitates your ability to do zrika. By shchita and by achila, there the item itself has to be matir. That heter shchita means the shchita is matir because the shchita has to be a proper shchita. Same thing by heter achila. So that's as far as the language is concerned, why it used heter zrika instead of heter kabbalah. The Tosafot asks your question, and he says, isn't it pretty obvious from the Mishnah that heter the kohanim means heter achila? Why would you have thought otherwise? Where is there a heter the kohanim in any of the other stages along the way? Why after shchita? Why after kabbalah would there be such a heter? The Tosafot claims that heter shchita means that it facilitates the kohanim's ability to do the avodot that are incumbent upon them. You remember we learned in the Gemara in Zvachim that shchita can be done even by a zar. Mikabbalah ve'elech are the avodot of the kohanim and solely the kohanim. What it means by heter shchita is that it now facilitates the Kohanim's ability to do the avodot that are incumbent upon them. That's how he explains Heter Shchita. Heter Zrika, which is Kabbalat Adam, he explains like Rashi over here, who says that Kibel is Hutar L'Zrika, v'afagav d'adayin lo nizrak damo. Even though the dam was not sprinkled yet on the Mizbeach, havei ki'ilu nizrak v'heter, kiz kol omed lizarek, kizaruk dami. So it's the equivalent of if it has happened. Tosafot says, well, if that's the case, why doesn't this become a machloket Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim? We know argue about when holomed something is if it's done or not. Gemara and Baba Kama has a machloket between them. And this should be another one of those machlokot. It should be clear that according to Rabbi Shimon, there's a possibility of heter zrika, meaning the possibility that after Kabbalah be mutar. According to the Chachamim, there's no such possibility because they don't believe in kol amid lizrok kizaruk dami. The Tosafot tries to free it of that machloket and say that irrespective of the position of Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, this question can exist, meaning that we're looking for something different here than in other situations. Here we're trying to remove the Kodshei Hashem title from the item. Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Shimon kazarok dami. Rabbi Shimon only says such a thing inyan tumat ochlin, when it's the facilitating ability of the item to consider ochel, so that can be kabel tuma. That's when he says kazarok dami. Avalo poke kodshe Hashem. It's not sufficiently strong enough to remove the title of kodshe Hashem. It makes it that it now has a shame of ochel, but it doesn't have the ability to remove kodshe Hashem from it. So even Rabbi Shimon holds Komed Lizrok is a Ruk Dami, that's uniquely associated with Tumat Ochlim. When it comes to removing Kodshei Hashem, there you need to remove it completely, and that hasn't happened. Or, Lidach Isa Dakad Lokami Rabbonon, the love is a Ruk Dami, Elian Tumat Ochlim, Mishum Delokarim Binam Be Asher Yeachel. Because that's not something you can eat. You need it to physically be ready to eat in order for that to happen. As long as it's Ra'ilizrika, maybe the Shem Kodshei Hashem can dissolve or dissipate in that case. So what he points out is that they're not necessarily correlated, and therefore you don't have to be dependent on that machloket. Now, he says, according to the one who says, Heter Shchita Shaninu, what do you do with the cases in the Mishnah that are psulim? The case that says, Shachat B'Tzafon, Viki Bel Daman V'Darom, there our Mishnah said, Mo'alin, there is Mi'ilah. If you believe Heter Shchita Shaninu, then you already did the Shchita in the right place. You did the Shchita in the Tzafon. Why does the Kabbalah and the Darom have any bearing on it? Tosafot has the same problem with Yom and Laila. In the case where you do the Shchita by Yom and the Kabbalah at night, why, according to the one who says Heter Shchita, is that a problem? Both of those met the threshold of Heter Shchita, and therefore there should be no Milah. Yet our Mishnah explicitly says there is Milah in those cases. That should almost be an absolute disproof to this position. So Tosafot says that it has to be situations in which the individual did these things right before they finished the Shechita. In essence, there was no kosher Shechita by the time he had done the Kabbalah. He says, Kagon Shekibel, Kodem Gemar Shechita. He did the Kabbalah before the Shechita was over. Ta'ashol Nenigmarah Shechita Behechsher. Shechita isn't finished Behechsher because he already made a pasul with the Kabbalah B'Darom before the Shechita ever attained the Hechsher. So same thing with regards to the Shechita. We said the whole reason, according to Tosafot, it's called Heter Shechita is because it facilitates the Kohanim's ability to do the subsequent Avodot. If you do Shechita late enough in the day, you are never matir the other Avodot to be done because there's no time left in the day to allow them to be done. There are those that disagree with that assumption of Tosafot because all you have to do is the Avodot that would facilitate that ability. It doesn't mean they have to really have the ability to do it. But Tosafot assumes that you really have to have the ability to do those avodot. And that's how he explains Heter Shechita, despite the fact that it sounds from our Mishnah that Heter Shechita is clearly not the threshold that makes it Ois Me'ilo. So now, it seems from the way that the question was posed that Bar Kapara asked his nephew to pose the questions to him. And now he gives him the answers. This would be Bar Kapara speaking and saying it's a machloket. Chizki Amar Heter Shechita Shaninu. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Heter Achila Shaninu. According to this view, there are only two opinions. There's Chizkiyah saying Heter Shechita, Rabbi Yochanan saying Heter Achila. There are alternate Girsaot that have Reish Lakish taking the opinion of Heter Zrika Shaninu. But just be aware of that, the way that our Gemara reads and the continuation of the Gemara only seems to focus on these two Shitot, that of Chizkiyah that says Heter Shechita and that Rabbi Yochanan that says Heter Achila. So it's the first and the last, not the middle case. And of course, what we're going to try to do is show that it really is Heter Zrika and neither of these opinions. That is Amar Rabbi Zeira, Lo Daika Matnitin, Lo Dechizkia, or the Loki Rabbi Yochanan. Our Mishnah does not seem to follow either of these positions or doesn't give us the impression that either of these two positions are correct. Tanan, our Mishnah says, Shalono Vishnitma Vishiyatzat. So the examples that are given under Rabbi Yeshua's opinion for things that have reached shata kosher are lana, something that remained past its time. It rained to the point where it hit its expiry time, that became tamei, or that went out of the azara, likely in this situation. Lav, so then what's the explanation of this case? The landam. Isn't the case here that the dam was left past the time that it could have been put on the mizbeach, meaning shkia, sunset. You didn't put the dam on before sunset. That is lana dam. And miktani ain't molimbo. And yet it says, no mi'ila over here. Shmamina heter zrika shaninu. From here you would conclude, not like either of them. sounds like it's heter zrika, because as long as you got to the point of zrikat hadam, and then it was left over before you did zrikat hadam, there is no me'ila according to our Mishnah. That sounds like kabbalat hadam is what you needed. You did that, and therefore there's no more me'ila. That's not like Chizkiyah who says heter shkita, and that's not like Rabbi Yochanan who says heter achila. Now, as the Rishonim pan out over here, the question is really more problematic for Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, it's a serious question, because over here it's clear that you can release the me'ila before you ever get to heter achila. For Chizkiyah, it's less problematic, it's just not as meduyak, because for Chizkiyah, it already passed heter shkita. So it's okay that the me'ila is not there. It would have been better had the Mishnah given you a bigger chiddush and told you something about shkita, but it's not necessarily in contradiction to his position. It just doesn't seem to be meduyak like his position. Therefore, the Gemara, when it answers here, is really focused on Rabbi Yochanan. For Rabbi Yochanan, it's a contradiction, and so the Gemara's answers are really going to focus on releasing Rabbi Yochanan from this problem. And the answer of the Gemara is, lo, delan basar. The lina here is a case not where the dam was left over past expiry time, it was when the basar was left past expiry time. Aval dam is darek. But the dam actually went on the mizbech. There was zrika. Shum haktani ein mo'alim bo. That's why there's no me'ila over here, because the dam got on mizbech properly. There's heter the kohenim for the basar. When you leave the basar then at that point past expiry date, that doesn't change the fact that there was once heter the achila, and therefore the me'ila is removed. Now, the Bali Tosafot ask over here, this answer is so obvious, then what was the questioner thinking? But it said lan, you could explain lan as referring to the dam, or you can have it refer to the basar. He says, well, it's definitely the dam, and therefore it's a question on you. And the Gemara answer is, no, it's not the dam, it's the basar. So why couldn't you just said up front, it was the basar? What compelled him to say lan dam instead of lan basar? And Tosafot claims it's because of the latter half of the Mishnah. The latter half of the Mishnah speaks about the case of machshevet chutz lizmano, machshevet chutz limkomo, and Shekiblu v'zarku psulim. All of those reference to the dam and avodat adam, they have nothing to do with the basar. So to keep parallel structure in the Mishnah, it would have made sense to say the lan was referencing to dam and not to basar. That's why the questioner said it should be lan dam. We come back and say, no, it's lan basar. But that is more dochak, because now you have the first part where it's talking about shata kosher as referring to the basar, and then the part that says, Ein lo shat hakosher, referring to the avodat adam. That inconsistency pushed him to ask the question. And again, we say, yes, in the end, it is basar and not dam, even though that's not the smoothest way to read the Mishnah. But then it does defend the position of Rabbi Yochanan, and it's no longer a question of Rabbi Yochanan. Then the Gemara continues and says, Tnan, Ez yesh lo hayta la shat kosher lekohanim. What's an example of things that do not have shat kosher lekohanim? Shenishkata chutz lizmana. So those we dealt with in yesterday's daf, which are machshevet chutz lizmano and machshevet chutz limkomo, which are problematic and disqualifying of the korban, and therefore it doesn't reach the heter, and that machshava can be in any one of the avodot. Since it can be any one of the avodot, you can explain this according to any of the opinions and say that there's no release of the me'ila over here because of the fact that you were posel it wherever you need to along the way. Yet machshevet pigol by shchita. Machshevet pigol by the Kabbalah, yet machshevet pigol by the Zrika, all of those would disqualify it before the time you reach the heter of the Kohanim. And the reason it mentioned Shkita in particular is because the format of the Mishnah is lozu afzu. Not only this, but also this. And there it goes from Shkita to Kabbalah to Zrika. But that would have been fine if we were just speaking about the machshevet pigol. Now, the problem or the question that we're bringing is from the latter part, Shikibelu Husulim, Bizarku and Dama. The Psulim did the Kabbalat Adam, and they did the Zrikat Adam. Where Tosafot says, you can't use this literary style of Lozu Abzu to answer the problem, since the Kiblu Absulim and Zarku are written in one phrase. And then you can't say Lozu Abzu when it's a singular phrase. And that now presents us with an issue, which is, Hey Chidami, what exactly is the scenario here? Ilema de Zarku Psulim, Vikibluhu Absulim. If you say that they were both psulim, the psulim did the zrikat adam, and the psulim did the kabbalat adam, lamali da'ad ikatarte. Why do you need both of them in order for it to be problematic? And it's enough now that the kabbalah was done by psulim. Why do you need to tell me that the zrikah was done by psulim? Even if the zrikah was done by ksherim, it still would not reach the point of heter achila, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Ella, lav dikablua pasulim, v'zarku aksherim. That makes sense then to say that the scenario here is where the Kabbalat Adam was done by pasulim, and then it was the zrika was done by aksherim. To tell you that the failure was in the Kabbalah, and the failure in the Kabbalah makes it now that you don't have heter zrika, because you never got through the Kabbalah in a proper way. Viktani mo'alimbo. It shows you that there's mi'ila. Shmamina, heter zrika shanino. Once again, it makes sense to say that heter zrika, that Kabbalah is the pivotal point. And that's why it says, kiblua psulim, but zarkua ksherim. So now, the Mishnah has different permutations that you can come up with based on the language. It says here that the failure is kiblu psulim, v'zarku et dama. That there was Kabbalat Adam and Zrikat Adam. You can read that in three different ways. You can read that as being that there was Kabbalat Psulim and Zrikat Psulim, which is the way the Gemara seems to be reading it, at least at first. And the Gemara says that seems to be overkill or unnecessary. Why do you need Kabbalah and Zrikat Psulim? Just Zrikat would have been sufficient to tell you that it's no good over here, the Me'ilah is not released, because the Rabbi Yochanan believes Heter Achila, Shaninu. Or you can read it as or. That it's kiblua psulim or zarkua psulim. But if you read it that way, then you have an internal contradiction, because each one of them negates the other possibility. If the pivotal issue is kiblua psulim, then why did you write zarkua psulim? If zarkua psulim is the pivotal issue, then why did you write kiblua psulim? So it must be that one of the two of them is lav davka. So that's what we're saying now, that it must be that zarkua psulim is lav davka. And kiblu psulim is davka. If you read it as kiblu psulim and then zarku ksherim, which is the way the Gemara is now trying to read it, that shows you that Kabbalah was the threshold. Because otherwise, you should have done it the other way around and said kiblu ksherim and zarku psulim. Because even if the Kabbalah was done correctly, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if the zrika was done with a pasul, it's no good. You didn't meet the threshold. So then, that's what the Gemara is pointing out now. That the way that we're going to read it, or the way that we're going to assume that this statement is made meaningful, is by reading it as the Kabbalah was done by psulim, and the zrika was done by ksherim. Very good. So then, even according to that reasoning, why mention zarkua ksherim? Because according to the one who says that heter zrika shanina, once you have kiblah psulim, that's the end of the road. Doesn't matter what happens with the zrika at this point. So the Balei Tosafot point out that that was necessary because if you didn't write Zarkua Ksherim, I would have thought Kiblua Psulim doesn't mean Kiblua Psulim and then Zarkua Ksherim. I would have thought Kiblua Psulim means Kiblua Psulim and Zarkua Psulim, because I would have just said Kabbalah is the first of the Avodot of the Kohanim. So I would have just said that all it's saying is everything else was done with Psul. So that would be then not as strong a question. So now what I say is Zarkua Ksherim, to indicate to you when I say Kiblua Psulim, it means literally kiblu absulim, not or kiblu absulim or zerku absulim, meaning that it's not just an example of one of the avodot that's about to come. It's literally kiblu absulim. If you say that, then you have a proof to the position that heter zrika shaninu. And that's what the Gemara is concluding now, because you would be midayek. That is only when kiblu absulim and zerku aksherim that me'ilah is not removed. But if it was reversed and kiblu aksherim and zarku absulim, yes, me'ilah would be released. If me'ilah is released, that's a proof that Kabbalah is the pivotal point, and heter zrika shaninu. That's the question that the Gemara is posing now, based on that last piece of the Mishnah. So matkiv la Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef now takes us far afield in order to disprove this position that the Gemara is taking with regards to our Mishnah. V'isak adakta ika v'plugei hochi. If you think that this is the way to be discerning about what that which is written in the Mishnah, meaning that we have to take it literally, davka, and when it says here, kiblu absulim, it means literally kiblu absulim, and not zarku absulim. And therefore it could be zarku ksherim, and it would be evidence of the fact that the individual says, have this rikashan, you know, that's exactly what's going on over here. The Gemara here brings the Mishnah. In yesterday's daf, the Gemara assumed you knew all the Mishnayot in Zvachim, and then kept bringing pieces of information from there, assuming he knew the Mishnah. And that's why Rashi, or the Miuchas, the Rashi here, is so large, is because he's trying to fill you in on what the Gemara is doing. Here the Gemara brings you a little bit of the Mishnah from Zvachim, which makes it a little easier to understand what the question is. That's not autumn. Chatat Sula, Ein dama teum kibus. If you have a chatat that is not qualified, if the dam sprinkles on the big day kahuna, you do not need to launder it, wash it out in the azara. Ben shaitala shata kosher v'nifsala. That's whether it already was done completely correctly, and therefore there was shata kosher, and only afterwards did it become pasul. Ben shalo haitala shata kosher. Or whether it did never had a shata kosher, v'nifsala, and it became pasul. Either one of those makes it that the dam is no longer relevant to the din of kibbutz bigadim. And the Mishnah there in Zvachim is going to do the exact same thing it did here, which is it's going to ask, what is shata kosher and not shata kosher? And it's going to give the exact same answer as it gave in our Gemara. The Mishnah there is referring to the Psukim in Parshat Tzav, says there in Pesuk Chav, Kol asher yigabim sara yikdash. Asher yizeh midama la beget. If there is blood that sprinkles onto a beget, asher yizeh aleha, that will be sprinkled on. Tichabes v'makom kadosh. You need to launder it in a place that is kadosh in the Azara. Seemingly, the diuk and the limud that the Gemara brings here, and Tosafot says that that's the case, is asher yizeh, that which was sprinkled on it. That means it has to be something that is ra'oi lahaza'ah. Something that can be sprinkled on the mizbeach, but then ended up on your beged instead of the mizbeach. That would exclude either something that was not ra'oi lahaza'ah, not ra'oi lahaza'ah, or also would exclude something that was kvar huza'ah. It already ended up on the mizbeach because it doesn't any longer need to be placed on the mizbeach. So it has to be asher yizeh midama, ala beged asher yizeh aleha. That duplication tells you that it has to be something that both is ra'oi to go on the mizbeach and something where the process has yet to be completed. If you already did that zatadam, then it's also not asher yizeh. So for that reason, the Mishnah says it's irrespective of whether it's a chatat psula before it had a shat kosher, or if it is psul that came after the shat kosher, either one of those situations or circumstances would not lead to blood that needs to be laundered. And the Mishnah says, what are those cases? Ezoi shla shat kosher, bin nifsala. What is the case where it already was kasher and then became pasul? Shalana of shinimet oshiyatza. Exactly like our Mishnah. Ve'ezoi shalo haita la shat kosher. And what are examples of items that never had shata kosher? Nishkata chutz limkoma v'chutz lizmana v'shikibilu psulim v'zarku et dama. Again, the exact same list is in our Mishnah. Hey chidami. Now, if you tell me that you have to read over here this idea of kiblu psulim and zarku psulim, you have to read it dafka, then explain to me what's happening over here. Ilemet kiblu psulim v'zarku psulim. If you tell me the case is that psulim did the kabbalat adam, and they did the zrika, so now you're going to say that's dafka? Who deinta matun kibus? Only in that situation is the blood released from having to be laundered because it was completely pasul. Ha kibluo vizarkua ksherim in any one of the other permutations. That means either kabbalat adam ayudei ksherim and zarkua psulim, or kabbalat adam ayudei ksherim and zarkua psulim, or the case where kiblua and zarkua ksherim. All of those cases, you're going to tell me that the dam does tone kibbutz? That's not true. Because, first of all, in the situations where you have psulim involved, it is now no longer ro'oi l'mizbeach. If it's not ro'oi l'mizbeach, then it's clearly not going to cause you the problem. And then the third scenario, where it's both kiblua ksherim and zarkua ksherim, there is no problem of kibbutz because you finished the din. You finished the mitzvah. You did the zrika already. Once you've done the zrika, there's no din of kibbutz begadim anymore, right? It says here, "Zakur shem dama toun kibbutz karikan asher yazem midama." It says there, "Asher yazem midama velo shikvar huza." It's only something where you're going to sprinkle it, not where it's already been sprinkled. And again, I said to you that has implications in all the categories here. The Gemara in Zvachim brings, and actually, two different limudim for this. But here, the Gemara just combines it in one limud and says, "Asher yazem midama teaches you kvar huza." Anything that already is done, meaning that it was already put on the mizbeach, whether it's done by ksherim psulim is irrelevant. Once it goes on the mizbeach, it's no longer a problem. It's no longer a problem with you because the mitzvah was done, or because even if it was done improperly, it's no longer valid. If it's not valid anymore, then it also doesn't cause you a problem. And that would be true of the earlier cases where the psul happened earlier. If it was kabluah psulim and zarkuah ksherim, it also would have no impact because the kabbalah yidei the psulim is a disqualifying event, and therefore it's no longer a sheyizemi dama. Not something that's ra'oi to be zaruk ala mizbeach. So Ella, labdafka. It has to be that those statements in that Mishnah in Zvachim is labdafka. When it says, ki blew up psulim v'zarkua, you can't read that as being literally, both of them are psulim. And hachanami, labdafka. If that's the case here, don't take it so literally when it says over here, ki blew up psulim, that's where there is mi'ilah. But if it was reversed, there would be no mi'ilah. In the case where kabluach sherim and zarku psulim, there would be no mi'ilah. And that would prove heter zikah shaninu says don't take it so literally. It says that it means all different permutations. And even if it was just zarku psulim, there would still be mi'ilah here because the kabbalah here is lavdafka. And since it's lavdafka, the real focus or the main pivot point is the zrika. And that'd be like Rabbi Yochanan that heter achila shaninu kan. Now, Amar Ravasi, imkein, lamalei demitnei tarte. Ravasi asks a more fundamental question, which is, I don't disagree with you. Lav dafka sounds great. But, if you have two Mishnayot that both say the exact same thing, and both of them are lav dafka, then why bother to say it? Meaning that it's one thing if you have one Mishnah where it's dafka, and the other Mishnah is lav dafka. You can say, it brought in the other Mishnah because it kept the format of the first Mishnah. So the first Mishnah needed it, and the second Mishnah, even though it wasn't necessary, it did it in order to keep a parallel, and the Mishnayot should be the same. But if you tell me the first Mishnah only has it because it's Lav Davka, then why does the second Mishnah bring it at all? It's also Lav Davka, or in essence, why have repetition of something that is not Meduyak in either case? It's giving you no more information in either case, so you can't say, because of one, I brought the other. I could have brought neither of them, and it wouldn't have affected anything here. There's no meaning to the statement anymore. Ella, what you have to say is, Olam de Mi'ila Dafka. Our case here, in Masechet Mi'ilah, is Dafka. Ah, now you have a problem. If you make it Dafka, it's a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. Because then it would mean that, Ki blew up Psulim, Mizarkuach Shirim. If there was Kabbalat Adam done by Psulim, and the Zrika was done by Shirim, or it doesn't matter if it was done by Psulim either, but either way, that would not release it from Mi'ilah because you never had Heter Zrika. You never had a kosher Kabbalah. Implying that if you had a Kabbalah, Ayudek Shirim, and then Zrika Ayudek Sulim, Mi'ilah is gone. Even though it never had Heter Achila LaKohanim, like Rabbi Yochanan. So how, what are you going to do with that, Diuk? Hakamash Malan. This is what comes out of it. Pasul Oseh Shirayim. Avalav the Kibel Pasul Bazarak. Even though there was Kabbalah Tadam Ayudek Pasul, and then Zrika done. Vikibel kasher, and then a kasher went and did a subsequent Kabbalah, Mizarak, lav klumhi. It is not meaningful at all. My taima, what's the reason? Dishirayim ninhu. Because he rendered them shirayim. What it's saying over here is that if you have Kabbalat adam, ayidei psul, what happens if there's still residual dam that's found, or dam and nefesh that's found in the behema? So somebody did the Kabbalah improperly, and because they did it improperly, now they disqualified that dam from being proper dam to put on his back. But there's still residual dam in the neck of the behema that's dam and nefesh. What happens if a kohen now comes and does the kabbalat dam properly? Can that rescue this korban, or can that solve the problem? So that's what the Gemara is saying over here, that even though it seems like you have the possibility or the ability to rectify the situation, the Mishnah is coming to tell you, as soon as they're Kabbalat Adam Ayudei Pasul, that renders the Korban disqualified completely and there's no rescuing the Korban. And that's why the Mishnah specified Kibluah Psulim, even though Zarkuach Sherim, because once there's a Kabbalah Ayudei Pasul, he renders the remaining Dam to be Dam of Shirayim, or Dam that is no longer valid. Now when the Gemara uses the word Ella, we always know that that means a reversal of that which we saw previously. So now, here you could read the Ella in one of two ways. The Gemara could be rejecting the idea before that they're both lav dafka. That was Rav Yosef's suggestion. And the Gemara now is saying, based on Ravasi's question, you can't say that they're both lav dafka. But the Gemara is maintaining, which Rashi says here, this idea that the diuk that you made was correct. That diuk stands now and is still a problem for Rav Yochanan, which is that I was Kibluah Psulim and Zarkuach Sherim, and the deal cut of that would be, if it was done by Sherim, did the Kabbalah, but the Zrika was done by Psulim, in Okanami, Mi'ilah would go away. So this does not release Rabbi Yochanan, it just helps us to explain the Mishnayot, or what the meaning behind the Mishnayot are, and that the Mishnah of Kibbutz in Zvachim is talking about Pasol Oseh Shirayim, that's what we're describing here in the Gemara, and the Mishnah here, we're going to maintain the diuk we made before and say it's dafka, which means that Kabbalat Adam is the pivot point over here. And we have to read it as Kibua Psulim Zarkua Kshevim and make the diok that undermines Rabbi Yochanan's position. And in that way, both Mishnayot are Davka, and therefore we can answer the question of Rabbi Yosef by saying that just like it's Davka here, it's also Davka over there. And Rashi just points out there is an explicit Mishnah in Zvachim that seems to indicate otherwise, which is Kulam Shekiblu Adamo Chutz L'Zmano Chutz L'Mekamo. If you do Kabbalat Adam with the Makshevet Chutz L'Zmano Chutz L'Mekamo, if there's still Dam left in the Behemah, in the neck of the Behemah, a Kasher can come back, do the Kabbalat Adam, and then rectify the Korban. Makes it sound like over there that the Makshevet Chutz L'Zmano and Chutz L'Mekamo do not make shirayim. So Rashi makes a distinction between that case in the Mishnah and what we're saying here. He says, "Haynu kishechishev pasul bekabalah chutz lizmano chutz limkamo." That's when if somebody was pasul had a makshev chutz lizmano chutz limkamo, the makshev pasul eno says shirayim nifsol. Over there we have two deficits. It's the pasul that's doing the avoda, and on top of that he has a makshev pigul. That makshev pigul is not going to make shirayim. Therefore, if you go back to the Behemah and get Gdam from there with a Kasher, you can rectify the problem. Our case of here is speaking about a Kasher, someone who is ra'oi to do the Kabbalat Adam or any of the Avodot, who had a Makshevet Pigol, that means he had a Makshevet Chutz L'Zmano, Chutz L'Mekamo, he makes it into Shirayim. So that'll be the difference between the case here where it becomes Shirayim from Makshevet Pigol, and the case in the Mishnah in Zvachim where Makshevet Pigol does not render it Shirayim. The case in Zvachim is a case where a Pasul had a Makshevet Pasul. But over here, we're talking about a kasher that had a makshevet pigol, or pasul did the kabbalah without a makshevet pigol. That's the difference between those two cases. So the Karen Urah points out that the etzema question that Rashi raises from that Mishnah in Zvachim indicates something about his opinion, which is, the Mishnah in Zvachim is only speaking about shekibulo psulim. When it was kabbalat adam, it was done yidei psulim. Our Mishnah, at least according to the way we're reading it now, was there was kabbalah yidei psulim and zrika yidei psulim. So the easy way to differentiate between the two of them is to say that the case in Zvachim is where there's only Kabbalah. And over here there's Zrika. And that's why over there there's not Solo Seh Shirayim. Versus over here where we do say Pasolo Seh Shirayim. That's what forces them to conclude the Rashi over here, or the Miyuchas, the Rashi over here, is thinking that Kabbalah Bipsulim is sufficient ground for making it that this Pasol Oseh Shirayim. Therefore Rashi claims that if it's a case where the pasul was did the Kabbalah without a makshevet pigul, or it was a case where a kasher did it and had a makshevet pigul. Both of those are sufficiently disqualifying events that it makes the shirayim pasul. The only instance where that's not true is where the Kabbalah was done by psulim and he had a makshevet of pigul. Over there, it's an invalid makshava, and therefore it's not oseh shirayim. That's the way that Rashi reads it. The Bali Tosafot, on the other hand, say Ella means a complete reversal of what we said before. Not only are we rejecting Rabbi Yosef's suggestion here that they're both Lav Dafka, but we're also rejecting this idea that there's a deal to made here, that Ki blew up Sulim and Zarkuak Sherim is the only time that the Mi'ila remains problematic. If you reversed it, the Mi'ila would not be problematic. Tosafot says the Gemara is discarding that as well. And is it telling you, you know why it says Ki blew up Sulim over here? Because that's the significant point at which it makes it into Shirayim. And that's the answer of the Gemara. Gemara's answering, why did it say Kiblu Absulim is Zarkuak Shirim? Bali Tosafot make it clear that Zrika is the pivotal point at which Pasulo says Shirayim. And therefore he reads the Gemara over here as saying, Kiblu Absulim vizarku Absulim. That the case here is where both of it was done at Dei Psulim. And it's coming to teach you, or the deal out of here is that only when Zarku Absulim is there a pasul oseh shirayim? If it was just kabloah, then it would not work. And the focus is on the zrika of the psulim. Even though the kabloah was ayyid psulim, you still need zrika ayyid psulim in order for it to be pasul oseh shirayim. And that's what the Bali Tosafot here say, that the Gemara here has rejected the distinction between kabloah and zrika at this point, and saying that zrika is the only item that affects pasul oseh shirayim. But then you can't be medayik anything about me'ila from that, because the focus of the Mishnah and the language here is pasul oseh shirayim. From that, then you can give one of two possibilities about the Mishnah in Zvachim. Either Mishnah in Zvachim is lav davka, and it's broad agav, what we're saying over here, just because it listed out the psulim here, it lists out the psulim there. Or you can say the diuk out of the Mishnah in Zvachim is the same diuk we're making out of here. It's just like here, it's coming to tell you that Pasul Oseh Shiraim. So to the Mishnah in Zvachim is coming to teach you Pasul Oseh Shiraim. So in summary, Rashi believes that the question against Rabbi Yochanan from the diuk of our Mishnah stands, and the limud from our Mishnah is Davka, Kabbalah, Ayidei Psulim, and Zrika is Ayidei Ksherim. And through that dafka, we're going to be dayek, that Kabbalah is the pivotal point. And that remains a question of Yochanan. The Mishnah in Zvachim, which seemed to be lab dafka, because we couldn't make a diok out of it, that we're going to solve by saying that it's referencing to Pasul Oseh Shiraim. And it's teaching us that when a Pasul does Kabbalah Tadam, it creates Shiraim, meaning that any blood that is residual afterwards cannot be used to rectify the situation. Now, in Rashi, it's not clear whether you also need Zrika Yidei Psulim in order for that to be true, or whether it's sufficient, as we saw the diuk that the Karen Ora made from the question that Rashi asks from that Mishnah in Zvachim, that maybe even Kabbalah itself, but Yidei Psulim, would be sufficient grounds to make it that the Korban Pasul Oseh Shiraim. And then in both Mishnayot, we'd have to read it as Kibluah Psulim Davka. And then the Zarku part of it is meaningless in Zvachim, and Rashi over there actually in Zvachim says that you should drop the Zarku out of the Mishnah. On the other hand, the Bali HaTosafot believe that the Gemara's answer is referencing to our Mishnah over here. When we ask here, what is the Mishnah telling us? You can't have two Mishnayot that are lav dafka. The answer is that our Mishnah here is dafka, but it's dafka to teach you Pasul Oseh Shiraim. And it's coming to teach you that dafka, when it's a Pasul that did the Kabbalah, and the Zrika was done at Yidei Pasul, that creates Pasul Oseh Shiraim. And it's Dafka here that you need both a Kibluah Psulim and Zarkuah Psulim, because that's what generates the Pasul Oseh Shiraim. That will then remove the question of Rabbi Yochanan, because now we have a diuk out of our Mishnah that has nothing to do with the Mi'ilah, but rather about Pasul Oseh Shiraim. And therefore, as far as we're concerned with Mi'ilah, Zrika is the only thing that matters, because Heter Achilah Shaninu Kan. And the reason that the Mishnah mentioned about Kibluah Psulim and Zarkuah Psulim is to teach you that Pasul Oseh Shiraim, when you have that Makshir Psul by Kabbalah, but that's only if Zarkuah Psulim. But if there was just Kibluah Psulim, that the Psulim did the Kabbalah, and then there was no Zarkuah, then a Kosher could go ahead, take the Dam, and finish off the Korban B'Kashrut. And that's exactly what the Mishnah in Zvachim was telling us, that if a Pasul has a Makshevet Pigul during the Kabbalat Adam, that does not disqualify the Korban, because the Ksherim could come in and finish it off, and it would be fine, because there was only the Kabbalah Yedei Psulim. There was no Zrika that was done afterwards. Obviously, if the Zrika is done Yedei Psulim or Ksherim, it won't matter. Whoever does the Zrika, but what it's telling us is that Zrika is Dafka here. But in that way, we eliminate the question of Rabbi Yochanan. The Mishnah in Zvachim is, as we noted here, one of two things. Either it's lav dafka, and it's just copying our Mishnah here, or it's teaching us the same din that we said here. The same way that we say here that it's pasul oseh shiraim, teaching us the same thing over there, but nothing to do with kibbutz. That's the way the Bali HaTosafot read it. So that's the difference in the way that Rashi reads the conclusion of the Gemara here, versus the way the Bali HaTosafot read the conclusion of the Gemara over here. Where it says, Vayimine Rish Lakish mi Rabbi Yochanan. Wasn't this exact thing that you just mentioned here a question posed by Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan? Pasul Maush Yaseh Shiraim. Someone who is a Pasul that gets involved in the Avodah Tadam, does he make everything else residual? So just be aware that the question that's posed by Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan relates to Kabbalat Tadam. In our situation, we're talking about Zrikat Tadam, and therefore the Rishonim have to come up with a way to explain why the question of Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan is relevant to our case here, which was dealing with Zrikat Adam when they're speaking about Kabbalat Adam. So the Rishonim take different approaches in connecting the Kabbalah here to Zrikah, including Rashi and Zvachim, Tosafot and Zvachim, who brings Rashi's interpretation, then brings the Rabbeinu Ephraim, with the exception of the Rambam, who says that the question is about Kabbalah, and our Gemara speaking about Kabbalah, similar to what we were Midayek out of Rashi, based on the Karen Ora. The Gemara over here thinks that Pasul Oseh Shiraim is in Kabbalah and has nothing to do with Zrika in the end. Barmalei, and Rabbi Yochanan responded to him, "Ein lecha davar she'aseh shiraim, elei chutz lizmano, v'chutz limkomo." There's only one thing that is done with psul that renders the remaining items as shiraim, And that's when you have a makshevet chutz lizmano, makshevet chutz l'mkamo. Ho'ol meratzim lepigulam. Since they are efficacious, not to make the korban kasher, but efficacious in the sense that they lock in the pigul for this animal, because once they of adult are done, that makes it retroactively that there is pigul associated with this animal, their activity or their zrika is meaningful. So therefore, that zrika is also sufficiently strong enough to make any other dam that's left over into shirayim. So now, if that's the case, my love, bar mitzul, from there you would think that that means to the exclusion of a psul. In that when Rabbi Yochanan says, the only thing that makes shirayim is machshevet chutz lizmano and chutz l'mkamo, that means nothing does that except for these items. And that means psul is one of those things that doesn't have the capacity to make shirayim. If that's the case, it seems to be the opposite of what we're saying here. I says, well, afilu psul. Now, even a psul also makes it into shirayim. Vaha in the chaktani. Didn't he make an exclusive statement that said this is the only thing that makes something shirayim? Is makshevet chutz lizmano and makshevet chutz l'mkamo? So how can you say, oh, also psul? If it's also psul, you gotta write that. You can't write nothing except for these items and then say, oh, there's another exception. So achi gamar. So this is the way to read it. In the chadavar, she'enu miratzeh b'tzibur. There's nothing that is not mirutzeh by the tzibur, v'oseh shirayim, and makes something to shirayim, ele chutz lizmano v'chutz l'mkamo. With the exception of makshevet pigul. Now, what the Gemara is making a veiled reference to is that there's certain types of disqualifications whereby being it done in the tzibur or having the tzitz is not going to rectify the problem. It's not going to get you over the issue. And so in any case where in the tzibur, it would not overcome that problem just because it's done in the tzibur, or just because the tzitz is meratzeh, then the only thing that makes shirayim from all those psulim, that's chutz lizmano and chutz l'mkamo. Those are the exclusive items that can create shirayim in that category of items that the tzibur does not override. If it's a psul, the fact that it's done with tzibur does not override it, then in that category, there are only two items whereby they can create a shirayim if they are done and you can't go back and collect the dam. But aval, tamei, the case where tuma, which is the ite b'tzibur, there the tzibur does have impact, as Rashi says over here, tuma duchuya b'tzibur. If it's done b'tzibur, it's overridden. There, mishavei shirayim, there is shirayim. Shar psulim, dolo atinun b'tzibur, lo mishavin shirayim. But other psulim that are not overridden by the tzibur, there is no shirayim. So what it's doing is it's breaking down the psulim into different categories. One category of psulim are those items that the tzibur can override. And then there's another category of those that they cannot override. In the category of those that cannot override, nothing makes shirayim. No psul makes shirayim except for makshevet chutz lizmano or chutz l'mkamo. Within the world of what the tzibur overrides, over there, those can create shirayim. And one of those items is tumah. And so since Tumah can create it, even if Tumah is done by Korban HaYachid, then that Tumah will create Shirayim. Even though it's not Makshevet Chutz Lizmano Mechutz L'mkamo, since it's an example of something that is done by Tzibur and would be overridden by Tzibur, therefore it has the capacity, even when it's done by Yachid, to create Shirayim. And that's be the example in our Mishnah. When our Mishnah says that it was Kibluah Psulim, it makes Shirayim, it's been the case, and that's what Rashi said in the Mishnah, he gave two examples of what happened. He gave one example that it was Kibluah Bali Mumim, that someone who was a Bal Mum did the Kabbalat Adam. But then he wrote that it was a possibility that it was a Korbanot HaYachid, it's a Tmei Mari. Sorry, my son was Tmei. By a Korban Yachid, the Lohut Reben Tumah, where Tumah is not released. Now the truth is that even by Tumah of Korban HaYachid, it should be overridden. That's because the Tzitz is Meratzeh on Tumah. And since it's Meratzeh and Tumah, even when you have Tumah by Korban HaYachid, there is an override mechanism. So then, if that's the case, why should it be that you need this Chiddush to tell me it creates Shirayim? It should create Shirayim just because it sits as Meratzeh and this is a good, quote-unquote, Kabbalat Adam. And the Gemara in Zvachim, they answer that it was a case where the Tzitz was not in service. That means either the Tzitz was broken according to the one that the Tzitz is Meratzeh as long as it's around, or according to the one that the Kohen HaGadol has to be wearing it in order for it to be Meratzeh. It's a case where he wasn't wearing it. So therefore, he didn't have the protection of the tzitz, and the dam is being taken care of by psulim who are tmeim, even though they said here that psul shirayim can only be created by chutzim zmano, chutzim kamo. That's only by psulim that the tzibur can't override. By psulim that the tzibur can override, there it can't create shirayim. And that's our situation here. It's tumah by kurban yachid, where by tumah the tzibur would have been overridden. Here by the yachid, it is a disqualified, problematic kabbalat adam, zrikat adam, and it renders all the other dam shirayim, because it's a type of psul that would be okay somewhere else. Since it would be okay somewhere else, it's also good enough over here to create shirayim. That's what it means. Aval tamei dite b'tzibor mishavei shirayim. Shar psulim, all other psulim, the latina b'tzibor, where the tzibor doesn't have an override, lo mishavein shirayim, they don't create shirayim. And so since our Mishnah is speaking about a case of a tamei that did the processing of Kurban HaYachid, then and only then is it true that Kiblu Absulim, meaning someone who's Tamei, and Zargu Absulim, someone who's Tamei, according to at least the Baal Tosafot, that is disqualifying to the point where Pasulo says Shirayim, where the Pasul makes it into Shirayim, and therefore it's not effective Zrika, because you don't have Heter Lekoanim Ba'achila to remove the Me'ilah, but it is effective enough Zrika that it now renders everything else to be Shirayim, and therefore you can't rectify this Korban, and that's why the Me'ilah will remain. Had it been a Baal Mum that did this, and the Baal Mum did the Kabbalah and the Zrika, there still would be the possibility of removing the Mi'ilah over here, because the Shirayim in the Behemah is not Shirayim, because that activity of the Baal Mum, as we saw here, doesn't have the ability to make the residual into Shirayim. That means if a Kasher now comes and does Kabbalah to Dam and Zrika to Dam, in Okanami you could remove the Mi'ilah in that way. The only exception is, again, if you have a Makshevet Chutz Mano and Chutz Kamo, that machshava will then render it that the blood that is in the neck of the behema is shirayim, yet it will not remove the mi'ilah. In that case, once again, you won't have the ability to rectify it, because the dam that's left in the tzavar behema is considered to be shirayim. Ketashma, hapigul lo'olam molim bo. It says by pigul, you always have a din of mi'ilah. Lav delo zarak. Isn't this even in a situation where there was no zrikat adam done? Ushmamina, heter zrikat zaninu, shaninu. Once again, sounds like if you had the pigul before the zrikat adam, and zrikat adam was never done, it has mi'ilah. And it's only because the kabbalat adam was done improperly. Had the kabbalat adam been done properly, even though you never reached the zrikah, that would have removed the mi'ilah. Where it says, lo, dizarka. It is a case where there was zrikat adam as well. Umay le'olam, then why does it have to say le'olam? So here, it's a little bit difficult, because why isn't this question also relevant to the one who suggested that there was no zrikat adam? He has to explain the word le'olam as well. So you could say that the Gemara just waited to ask the question, and when we figured out that maybe zrikah is okay, then we asked the question, but the question is equally problematic for the first opinion here. Or the Baal Tosafot here quote from the Sar Mikutzi, that there is a big difference. He says, if you didn't do zrikat adam, then the word olam tells you whether it's before zrika or whether it's after zrika. That's what the olam means. The olam means whether the psul happened before zrika or the psul happened after zrika, it's still problematic. And therefore, it's a proof that Kabbalah is the pivotal point, and that means heter zrika shaninu. But once you say now that we're saying that it's after zrika, what does the olam mean? What does it mean? It's always problematic. Always what? What always makes it problematic? So the Rashi, or the Miuchas, the Rashi here just reads it as the olam is a separate question of the Gemara. We accept the answer. Just tell me now what the meaning of the word olam is. And the Baal Tosafot see this as a part of the series of questions of the Makshan, because as the Sar Mikutzi explains, the word olam is explainable by the version that says that we're speaking without zrikat adam, only kabbalat adam. Whereas according to you, who now says that it also includes zrikat adam, the word olam no longer is meaningful in this context, and therefore it's a continuation of the question, saying that my explanation is better, and how could you claim here that zrika also took place in this situation? So that the Gemara answers, Hakamash Malan, Rav Gidol Amarav, is supportive of this view of Rav Gidol Amarav, which we spent yesterday's daf on. Dam Rav Gidol Amarav, zrikat pigul, ena motzi midei me'ilah. You do zrika of a makshevet pigul, according to Rashi, according to the Baal Tosafot, where the shkita was done with pigul, and the zrika was done with a stam makshava, that doesn't get you out of the problem of mi'ilah. It doesn't get you out of the problem, Me'ilah, for Kodshei Kodashim, Ve'enu Me'vi Lidei Me'ilah. It doesn't generate Me'ilah for Kodshim Kalim. And that is what it shows you, because we say that the Zrika is here, and why is it telling you the Olam? That means that even with Zrika, you can't get out of Me'ilah. The Zrika is not going to help you to release you from the Me'ilah. If it is a Zrikat Pigol, which according to Rashi means you had a Makshevet Pigol when you did that Zrika, according to Tosfot, you had it Stam after having a Makshevet Pigol in one of the other Avodot, that according to Rav Gil Marav never releases you from Me'ilah. And that's what it means, the Olam. Yes, Zrika is here. And the Chiddush of the Olam is that even though Pigol is Miratzeh, even though the Zrika has to be done in order for the Pigol to take effect, and therefore this Dam or Zrika the Dam has an impact, nevertheless, Rav Gil Marav said, doesn't release it from Me'ilah, because Zrikat Pigol is a problematic Zrika, and therefore it never gives you the heter that you need. But once you're reading it about Zrikat Adam, you can say heter achila shaninu, because the Zrika itself is the pivotal point in determining whether this item had heter l'kohanim or did not have heter l'kohanim. Okay, we're going to stop here at the bottom of Hey Amud Bet.